Encounters improve the quality of our lives. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life without God. Encounters will activate purpose and calling in our life. Encounters come to restore intimacy and fellowship.
The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. Encounters come to restore intimacy. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life. If you don't have a relationship with God, anything of value can become God to you. Welcome to Encounter Jesus Ministries, sustaining an experiential knowledge of God and walking in the fullness of our eternal ordination. Now, listen to God's servant, Apostle Oropo Michael, as he takes us through an encounter with the Word.
Him, all of you belongs to Him. Surrender to Him even tonight. Surrender to Him completely, wholeheartedly. The Bible said you were bought with a price. You are not your own. But again, it's an honor to be called of God. Just go ahead and honor Him and surrender one more time. Let Him have all of you. Your spirit, your soul, your body, everything that pertains to you, can you please surrender to Him this evening?
When the glory comes, there'll be no words to say. Oh.
Thank you, Holy Spirit. We honor you, we love you, we magnify your name, we bless you. Thank you for the gift of life. Thank you for the privilege of fellowship. Thank you, Lord, for the blessing of understanding. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us the honor of participating with you in advancing your agenda on the face of the earth. We bless you. We honor you. Again, tonight, we've come to hear, to receive of your spirit. We ask that we'll be energized, we'll be lifted, we'll be metamorphosed into higher versions of our essence and our being. Take all the glory. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Wow, praise God. You may be seated. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We love you. We honor you. Again, tonight we are privileged to gather, to enjoy fellowship. When we gather like this, we are afforded the opportunity of communing with God, and we are also given the opportunity of communing with one another. There is a blessing for interacting with God, and there's also a blessing for interacting with one another. The Bible said, "Behold, how beautiful and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in harmony." He said it's like the oil upon the head of Aaron that runs through his beard down to his skirt. He said it's like the dew upon Mount Hermon. He said there the Lord commanded his blessings. So there is a place where you are assured of the blessings of God. And this blessing is not just a blessing that maketh rich. It's deeper than that. This is a blessing that causes you to vitally interact with God. The anointing begins to flow. And everyone becomes like a high priest. You know, in the Old Testament, only the high priest has the opportunity of going to the Holy of Holies to fellowship with the Shekinah. He said, but when we gather together, the experience of the high priest becomes the experience of everyone. And so even the least of the brethren can also participate and partake of that which only the high priest has the privilege of interacting with.
And that's why I said in Hebrews chapter 10 verse 25, not to despise the gathering together of one another, as is the manner of some. And so we are honored this evening, interacting vitally with God and also with one another. You want to appreciate somebody seated by your left or by your right one more time. Connect with that grace. Connect with the virtue. You may just be shaking a prophet. You may just be shaking an intercessor. Maybe he prayed for 40 hours before coming here. Who knows? And you have not prayed. You just connected to something and the harmony begins to take place. So when you shake them, shake with honor. Something can flow. Virtue flows through gradient. praise God. It's always a delight to share fellowship. This evening we are honored to have in our midst very revered functionaries that we would have to honor. But let me begin with the president. The president of the Embassy of God Ministries International, God's servant, Apostle Victor Emmanuel Obet. Come on! Give the Lord a shout! Hey, yeah, 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 hey. Hey, 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 hey. Somebody shout glory. The Embassy of God is the ark of safety and is a ground of raising kingdom warriors. So that song was to salute him, because they are a tribe of warriors. Apostle Victor is situated in Kubwa. And trust me, something heavy is about to break out from that region of Abuja to the ends of the earth. Those of you who are in Kubwa, you want to join them on Wednesdays and Thursdays. It will be a place of prayer. There will be intensity. There will be transformation and life will be made available. And so tell your friends, invite them, they will have encounters that will change their lives and their stories forever. He's labored with us here and it has pleased the Lord to set him apart for a very unique and strategic assignment for the last days. And so we are honored to have him share fellowship again. God bless you, brother. You may be seated. God bless you. Thank you. Again, I have a brother all the way from Benue State. He came to town to also be a part of the inauguration and to share fellowship with us. He's a prolific teacher of the word. He's a pastor with Christ Embassy. And I've known him for many years. Has integrity and reputation. And is deep when it has to do with exegesis of scriptures. And he loves the Lord with all his heart. Can we please celebrate God's servant, Pastor Patrick Itodo? Good to have you. Thank you for coming. One of these days, we'll have you come and bless us. You know, when Pastor Patrick is teaching, apart from the fact that scales fall off your eyes, your heart begins to burn. Your heart. You understand what the Bible meant when they said their hearts were pricked. Every time I sit under his ministration, my heart begins to burn. You just live there and you begin to seek God at another level. Doing a mighty work for God in Benue. And he came into Abuja and decided to share fellowship with us. I usually don't honor him because he doesn't want to, but because it's the first service I'm seeing him for this year, I want to salute again, very specially in our midst, a father. He's been with us from the beginning and his consistency is something else. He just comes and sits quietly just to hear the word of God, and he always comes with his wife. These are very senior people in society, but they love the Lord. And they've shown us the example of humility and brokenness. Can we please celebrate God's servant, Nava Commodore Anayo, and his dear wife, who is also a Nava captain, here to share fellowship. Thank you so much. We honor you, sir. We love you so deeply. God bless you. And of course, all the directors are here, heavily seated, with fire in their bones. Praise God. We celebrate everyone for coming, all the ministers. We may not know you in person, but thank you for coming. We love you and we celebrate you. This evening, I want to share something that is very vital. I will trust God to be calm so I can explain some things. You know, we had a Bible study on Tuesday. I wanted to explain the Bible. I didn't intend to preach. But you see, there are certain depths you enter in light and you begin to interact with energy. There's a level you journey in light and what you have is illumination and direction. But there's a level you journey to in light that you don't just receive illumination, you start touching energy and power. When you get there, it becomes difficult to manage the situation. And so we broke into something heavy on Tuesday. I didn't even get into the subject of the day because of the weight and the intensity. So today, I want to explain some things because I want to draw your attention to sensitive things that will bless you. I've shared with you before that our world is a wicked world. You see, when you study scriptures, try to pay attention to absolute tenses. When the Bible is using absolute tenses, pay attention. It's very important. For example, Jesus speaking, he said, "It is the spirit that quickens." He said, "The flesh profited nothing." If you don't pay attention, you will read and pass. But what Jesus was trying to let us know is that the flesh has already been judged. It's not something that will be judged. It has already been judged. And the conclusion from the studios of eternity is that no prophet is in flesh. And so anything you do that originates from your flesh, in theological sense, is called dead works. It cannot strike a chord in the realm of God. Because flesh profited nothing. You cannot, no matter how creative you are in the flesh, you can't derive value from flesh that will have spirit significance. So that's an absolute tense. So if you want to really make progress in life, you'll look for a way of defeating the flesh. Especially when you are doing spirit business. Number two, when you study Galatians 1 verse 4, the Bible called this age, this world, an evil world. You may throw into a territory and they tell you things are fine here. That's deception. There's nothing good anywhere in this world anymore. The only good thing you find on earth is Christ and the areas where his kingdom is allowed to be exercised. If the government of God is not there, it's called evil. Galatians 1 verse 4, not 14. It said, Jesus gave himself for our sins that he may deliver us from this evil age. And it corroborates what the Bible said in Isaiah 60 from verse 1. It said, "Arise, shine, for thy light is come." And the reason you need to arise is because darkness shall cover the earth and gross darkness the people. So the earth is in darkness. And Psalm 74 verse 20 said, "The dark places of the earth is the habitation of cruelty." So there is cruelty on the face of the earth. Only a naive and gullible person will walk through earth and hope on luck and chance. Somebody wakes up in the morning, he says, "If it will happen, it will happen. If I'm lucky," there is nothing like that. You are reading a textbook that doesn't exist. "If it will happen, it will happen," don't exist. "If it's my luck," doesn't exist. That's why most persons who are victims in life subscribe to such philosophies. And because Jesus knows this, he gave us one prescription. The prescription he gave us is power. He raised people and worked with them for more than 3 years. When he was about to ascend to heaven, he now advised them, "Don't run out and say I was with Jesus, you will die." Because it's possible for you to snap a picture with a man of power and you make an enlargement and put in your office, put some on your handle, it's on Instagram, it's on Facebook. I can't breathe for you. Power is so personal that if you don't have it, you will die. So Jesus, after educating them, they had all the syllabus, they had all the lecture notes, they had seen things, but he said, "Tarry in Jerusalem," Luke 24:49, "until you are endued with power." So every believer must have power vitally as an inheritance. And next week I will do a teaching on the doctrine of power. But tonight I want to do a teaching
that will help you know how to generate power. That's what I want to teach on tonight. Next week, I will do a doctrine on power. Power. Because there are different kinds of power for different purposes. The sound that is being generated from this microphone is a form of electrical power, but it's called sound. Sound energy. There's another power in form of light and illumination. If I have sound and I don't have light, I will only produce what sound energy can produce. I will be in darkness. That's why I will go into the doctrine of power to show you the intricate dynamics of power. But for tonight, I want to teach something that will help you walk in power. Because there are too many believers who are not walking in power and they don't know why. And so they join the unbelievers and they confuse people in the world, hoping things will work. Nothing works like that. You heard the testimony of the sister? She called the man several times. The man wouldn't pick until she went on 40 days fasting. By the time she gauged into a level of power, the man did not just pick. The man sent money and he didn't send naira. It's easier to send naira from some of us who understand transaction. The man labored to send dollars and it was not 1,000. It was $20,000. The question is, somebody who has the heart large enough to give you that kind of money, why was he not picking your call? Because it will take power for you to get his attention. It's not English language that secures his attention. It's power. And so Jesus told them, tarry until you are endued with power. He went to heaven, came back, and stayed with them for 40 days. And before he left, he said, wait again. In Acts 1 verse 8, he said, not many days from now, you shall receive the Holy Ghost. Yes, the Holy Ghost will teach you wisdom. Yes, the Holy Ghost will show you things to come. But of all the Holy Ghost will show you, there's one I want to pick out. He said, you will receive the Holy Ghost and power. Because power stands out in all of these things. So a man who doesn't understand how to walk in power is a victim waiting to be taken off. Because there's an evil day apportioned for everybody. What you call a testimony is actually an evil day converted to victory. And what converts that evil day to victory is power. Because that thing you call testimony killed somebody else. You had a growth and you come to testify and say the growth vanished. That same growth killed somebody else. So the reason you are not in the grave but testifying is because power separated you from those who go to the grave. And so the outcome of a man's life is a product of his understanding and engagement of the principles of power. If you don't know how to engage power, you are a victim. Tell your neighbor, you must find power. 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 You know, when I was teaching on Tuesday, I was trying to explain to us the things that are already available to us in Christ. Because there are some things that are already available. In fact, all things are available. In 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3, he said, according as his divine power hath made all things that pertain to life and godliness available through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. And Paul speaking in 1 Corinthians 3:21, he said, all things are yours. So all things are already available. But you need certain things operating in you to access all things. And one of the things you need is revelation and understanding. And so on Tuesday, I was trying to explain to us on a very vital subject that brings us to victory. In fact, I said that syllabus is made up of four teachings. Number one is the doctrine of forgiveness. Number two is the doctrine of righteousness. Number three is the doctrine of sanctification. And number four is the doctrine of consecration. I said the doctrine of forgiveness is the revelation of God's unconditional love that necessitates our exoneration from the penalty of sin. Not because we did anything, but because Christ paid the price. We just believe it. And so sin is deleted from our slate. When God looks at us, it looks as if we've never sinned. Because the truth is, if God finds sin in you, he will kill you. When sin was put on Jesus, he was not spared. He was killed. God didn't say he is co-equal with me. So long as you have carried sin, you will die. The wages of sin is death. That's how it works. And so in the doctrine of sin, of forgiveness, expiation and propitiation took place. Expiation is the technology of washing sins away by the blood of Jesus. And propitiation is the technology of carrying God's anger on the cross so that God is no longer angry with sinners. That's what happened. And so when you believe in Christ and confess Him, expiation and propitiation is credited to your account. You are now forgiven. So you are forgiven because of your faith in the finished works of Christ. Now, when you come to righteousness, righteousness is a declaration that was made in the courts of heaven that now that you are forgiven, you are now qualified to be an heir of God. So everything that gives right in the spirit is credited to you. And so on the strength of righteousness, you are not coming into God's presence because God is kind to you. You are coming into God's presence because it's your right. Because He has given you the right to come there. So you appear there. But this right is not something you earned. It's something that was given to you by the love of God. This is why it said to come boldly to the throne of grace and obtain mercy. It's possible because you have been declared righteous. And I said righteous operates in twofold. Number one is a product of a declaration of God that you are right. And I said number two is because the nature of God is put in you. Because of these two things, it is now expected of you to live rightly. So right living is a product of righteous nature. If you are not living rightly, it's probably contestable that you have that nature. Now, when you finish the doctrine of righteousness, you now come to the doctrine of sanctification. And I said the doctrine of sanctification is the doctrine of holiness, because sanctification is the word hagiazo. It means to be set apart. So while in forgiveness you are exonerated from judgment, in righteousness you are declared qualified to appear before God, in sanctification you are expected to live for God. Because you can be living right, not for God. It's one thing to live right, it's another thing to live for God. So God does not want you to only live right, He wants you to live for Him. And then when you finish sanctification, you now enter consecration. So we're trying to explore forgiveness. And I said, why does God forgive? I said there were three major reasons why God forgives. Number one, I said God forgives in order to restore relationship. Because the moment sin came, our relationship with God was truncated. And so Romans 4:25 and Romans 5 verse 1, the Bible said that Christ was delivered for our offense. And then in Romans 5 verse 1, it said, being freely justified by faith, we have peace with God. And so what forgiveness does is to bring you into a relationship with God. That's why you just say, thank you, Father, you have a vision. You may not even know the cost of an angel appearing to you. You carry the scripture, you look at it, and the scriptures begin to talk to you. You now wake up, you say you are intelligent. You have revelation of scripture. The reason you can see what is there is because relationship has been restored. So God can now interact with you. You can interact with God. And I said, it doesn't stop there. The second reason God forgives is because God wants you to operate in life. Because the technology of victory is actually tied to life. The quality of your existence is defined or predicated upon the kind of life you have. No matter how you train a baboon, a child of 1 year will be more intelligent than a baboon. A child of 1 year will speak intelligible language. A baboon cannot speak. A very learned baboon is an illiterate before a child of 1 year. The reason is not the quality of teachers, it's the quality of life. And so when God gave us life, He wanted us to operate in His class. And so in Colossians 2:13, He said, you were dead in your trespasses, but He said in forgiveness, He quickened you into the life of God. And so the reason you can have God's results is not because you are intelligent. It's actually because you have the life of God. And then I said the third reason God forgives is to give you power and authority. Because in Colossians 2:14, it said every handwriting of ordinance that was against you was nailed to the cross. And He said, having spoiled principalities and powers, He made a public show of them. After He made a public show of their defeat, He now appeared to the disciples and said, all power in heaven and on earth has been given to me. He said, you go in that power. And so I said, everyone who believes in Christ is already a carrier of power. And I took time to do this recap. So when I start talking about the protocol of walking in power, you will not begin to analyze doctrine for me and say, no, if I have the Holy Ghost, I have power. Are we together? Because there are many believers who are oppressed by demons. Yes, they have power, but they can't manifest it. They have power, but demons are still suppressing them. And so it's important for you to know that when you receive Christ, because you were forgiven, authority has already been bequeathed you. But walking in authority is another syllabus entirely. And there are things you must subject your soul to in order for you to draw from the power that is at work in your spirit. In Ephesians 3:20, it says God is able to do exceeding abundantly above what you can ask or think, according to the power at work. So the power must be at work in you before you can see the results. It's not just for the power to be in you. In forgiveness and upon your faith in Christ Jesus, the power is in you. But there are some things you need to do for the power in you to be at work. And one of the things you must do for the power in you to be at work is what we call the mystery of fasting. And so this evening, I want to teach us on the subject of the power of fasting. Because fasting is one of the things that activates the power at work in you. Can I shock you? Everybody sitting here can raise the dead. But it's a potential. Everybody sitting here can live in divine health without sickness. But it's a potential. Everybody sitting here can cast out devils. But it's a potential. The people who vitally will command demons and they will obey, there is something they've done to that potential to make it a reality. And those who know how to engage that potential, there's something they do. It's called fasting. Now, why am I teaching this now? There are many believers who negate the things that are meant for their advantage. And so what the fathers of faith did, because of wisdom, is to create a system around Christian calendar and to use those seasons to draw the attention of even the nominal Christian to those things, so as to give them an advantage at least once in a year. So if you go around the body of Christ now, every church is fasting. It's not because it's a ritual. It's actually because if they don't fast in January, some people will never fast again until the end of the year. So when the fathers of faith saw that it would be difficult to get some believers to fast, because fasting is supposed to be a lifestyle, but because they discovered it's difficult to get people to fast, they now prescribe that fasting to the first month of the year. And sometimes when they teach it with some measure of threat. If you don't fast, some things may happen this year. Things may go wrong. So because of fear, many Christians will fast. They know at least that thing will help them. So what we try to do is to take advantage of this season to now bring understanding. So those who understand it, after January is over, they will keep fasting. Because fasting is not for January. Fasting is for life. It's for victorious living. Are we together? There is so much power in fasting. In fact, when you read the Bible, one of the first secrets of power that the patriarchs of old discovered was through fasting. There are many secrets of power that the fathers of old discovered, and they are littered in scripture. One is prayer. Another one is sacrifice. Another one is fasting. So when you are reading the Bible, the Old Testament looks like a story, but it's not a storybook. It's actually a book of great mysteries. If you don't pay attention, you may not see what is happening. When you start reading that book, you will discover that the fathers of old were spiritual archaeologists. They journey in God to find things. And when they find those things, they make them available to the body of Christ. That's why we call them patriarchs. The name patriarch is not a title. The name patriarch is actually conferred on people that opened up dimensions for the body of Christ. And so when you read the book of Hebrews chapter 11, where the heroes of faith were chronicled, you will discover that all of these men pioneered strange orders in the spirit. For example, the Bible spoke about Abel. And the Bible revealed to us that what Abel found in God was sacrifice. He said Abel provided a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Because of that, he was declared righteous. So while these men were walking on the earth, they were studying God and excavating things from the realm of God. And so it is through Abel that we discovered, for you to have a relationship with a spirit, you must always have sacrifice. Because the way you attract the attention of a spirit is through sacrifice. So anybody who wants to have a good relationship with a spirit must use sacrifice. That's why both in light and in darkness, you can't approach a spirit without sacrifice. If you go to a native doctor now, they will tell you, go and bring a virgin. Because spirits respond to sacrifice. It was Abel that pioneered it. When you study Abraham's life, you will discover Abraham pioneered something called faith. So Abraham became the custodian and the pioneer of the faith order. And so Abraham's life actually is a revelation of the fact that for you to please the spirit, you must trust him. Now, that's a higher revelation to sacrifice. That's why the Bible speaking, it says to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. So when a man hears a spirit and obeys him, which is a revelation of his faith, he is superior to sacrifice. And that was what another patriarch pioneered. It's so sad that discoveries in God have ended. Because most people now are working with God because they need a car. The moment the car comes, they say, God accept us. I'm driving a Range Rover. So what you discovered in God is what was created and invented in Germany. Your journey in God is shallow. When people are finding things that are immortal, it's a car you entered into God to pull out. You labored in God, and what you came out with was a car. A car that has a lifespan of 7 years. What a journey. A car is supposed to be a byproduct. Find something that is immortal. That when you leave, it will be a signature among the sons of men. And every time that dimension is invoked, it becomes a memorial in your honor in heaven. Even when you are in heaven, they will look down to earth and say, the reason men are worshipping today is because somebody said in Genesis 22 verse 5, I will go up with the lad to worship. So it was because of Abraham that men started worshipping God. He was the one that taught us that God should be worshipped. And so Abraham can never die. Even in the next dispensation, he said, men will come from the north, the east, the south, and the west to honor Abraham. Because what he has found is immortal. Anybody who is worshipping God today is worshipping God because Abraham walked through the earth. So whether you like it or not, you must subscribe to Abraham. He can't die. Even Jesus, when he was coming, he was called the seed of Abraham. Because the things he pioneered, they were eternal in God. And so is the fasting order. The fathers discovered fasting as one of the provokers of power. Anybody who wants to walk in power must learn and master the way of fasting. And so this evening, two things I just want to show you for you to practice is how to fast and the benefits of fasting. So when you are fasting, you know what to focus on. Because you can be doing that which is right, but focusing in the wrong direction. And so it's important for you to know how to do it and why doing it, what to focus on. And that will be the major emphasis of my teaching. But like I said, fasting is powerful. In 2 Samuel chapter 2 verse 21, we saw that David's son took ill. And David subscribed to a technology. The moment his son became sick, David started fasting. The question you ask yourself is, how did he know that the way to handle this sickness is not just to look for herbs, but to begin to fast? What is the connection between fasting and the healing power? How did he know? That's why they are called patriarchs. They know what you don't read in the textbook. Are we together? Because David knew there's power in fasting. And the moment the child died, David went and took a shower. He said, well, what's the point? He's dead. So there's no need to fast anymore. So David knew one of the reasons men fast is to generate power. And because I can't generate enough power to keep him alive, the fasting has ended. So David defined to us the jurisdiction of the mystery of fasting. That power is the jurisdiction. And that was not the only case. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20 verse 30, verse 3, we saw that three nations besieged a king called Jehoshaphat. The armies were greater. The strategy was superior. And Jehoshaphat knew, even before the battle, that he was already defeated. And instead of Jehoshaphat to start looking for human connection, instead of Jehoshaphat to start emergency training program, Jehoshaphat gave a commandment. This army is superior to us, but there is something we can do to engender an intervention that gives us advantage beyond the physical. And he said a fast was proclaimed and all Israel began to fast. The question you want to ask yourself is, what does fasting have to do with military intelligence? People are coming with bows and arrows. Who told you that by stopping yourself from eating, you can mobilize forces that can counter the intelligence of an army, not of one nation, but of three nations put together? Their weaponry is superior to yours. It means this man understood something that our generation don't know. When a man has a little problem, he's looking for all the relevant contacts in his phone. That's his first point of reference. But people who lived many centuries before guns were created knew that there was a power that was superior to everything natural. And it's unfortunate that even till date, having read the Bible for 10 years, some persons have not excavated what the men of old who didn't have scripture knew. Because in the days of Jehoshaphat, there was no Bible they were reading. You could just find scrolls and parchments of prophets. But how did they have this kind of intelligence? Do you know what it means to risk your whole nation? A nation is coming to fight you. When you should begin to look for human connection, when you should begin all kinds of training, you tell everybody, drop your weapons. Let's go and seek the Lord in fasting. How did you know that what you are doing is not foolishness that will cost the whole nation? Because they knew something that was deeper than mental knowledge. When you find believers who don't fast, you just know you are seeing people that can easily be destroyed. See, when we speak boldly in the Lord, it's not just because of what God has promised. It's because of what God has revealed we must do in order to claim those promises. If you know what God has promised alone, and you are not doing what God says to do to inherit those promises, you will still be a victim. I can't tell you how many persons who have told me I will die. But I know some things that are more, they are more assured than even the visions I see. I've had dreams before when I'm about to go for a meeting. I was in a coffin. And people were weeping. They were burying me. And I was watching myself being buried. When I didn't understand certain things, because some things have their foundation in God, nothing can shake them. When I started growing in understanding, I now told myself, if I was the one watching the burial, it means I'm not the one. How can I be watching my own burial? And then I went further to tell myself, how about the programs God has committed to my hands? I'm not yet finished. How about the sacrifices? How about the fasting? How about the prayer? How about the prophetic word? And I discovered certain dreams can be mirrored by demons in order to frustrate you from doing God's assignment. I stopped praying about those visions. And so when the devil shows it, I say, okay, when I come back, remind me of the dream. Because I'm about to hit the road. But you need to understand the power of these things. A king can drop bows and arrows and go against three nations just because he fasted and prayed. There's something about fasting you don't know. If you know it, you will know that business can't fail. If you know it, you will know those people who rose up and cost you, they were wasting their time. If you know it, you will know all those men that ganged up against you, they just wasted their destinies. Because the time they should have used to invest in their destiny, they are using it to wait for you to die. They will wait for a long time. The people who gave you a lifespan of success, they will grow old and they will still see you do great things. At the worst case scenario is that their followers will now know that they are liars. Do you follow? Don't be intimidated. We have things that are immortal. Fasting is one of them. We saw David put it to work. We saw a king risk the destiny of his nation on these things and they didn't fail. Did you even read that in Ezra chapter 8 verse 21, this guy was traveling to go build Jerusalem. And armed robbers, bandits, all forms of criminals were waiting to attack them. And the Bible said, if you get it from New Living Translation, it will be better, that Ezra declared a fast. The moment they finished fasting, God didn't speak. The man knew that for they having fasted, they are already invincible. And so he finished fasting and started going forward. And no bandit could attack. No terror could come on them. What did they know about fasting? If you know it, you'll become as invincible as they are. And so when people who have three times your strength gang up against you, you will tell yourself, if Jehoshaphat was able to survive it, then fasting has not changed. If they tell you this part you are taking, you'll be destroyed. You will tell yourself, if Ezra was able to go through invincible, it means the power of fasting has not yet been truncated. Because there is something about fasting that the elders of old knew. This is why they fasted. It was not a religious activity. It was a mystery that stirred power, both in the realm of God and the one that is currently resident in your spirit. We cannot do without fasting. If I have time, as I'm sharing, I will talk to you about some fastings that I've done. If me, I become fat, it will be by a miracle. Me, if I become fat, my wife knows that since we got married, she can count the number of times she cooked breakfast for me. It's a waste of food. She can count, even when I'm not fasting, my system boots by 2 o'clock. Because this stomach, it has been compressed in fasting. So it's sometime around 3 p.m. and I start feeling like I've not eaten. I've trained the body so much through fasting that I can't eat in the morning. If I'm eating in the morning, it's like grass. I'm trying to understand what my system is not acquainted to it. Thank God Mr. Godwin is here. We did our masters together. I fasted from 2012 to 2017 straight because I was doing 3 days in a week. I wasn't sensing energy enough for what I was contending for. And so I went on everyday fast, 6 to 6, from 2012 to 2017. Those were the days when it looked as if my intestine will rupture. I said, it's better to die qualified for destiny than to live a mediocre. That time he took responsibility of buying Tom Tom for me. Every day he come, he said, take Tom Tom, you need it. We were writing exam in fasting. They say you will die. I say I'd rather die qualified to live than to live unqualified to exist. There was a time I went to the hospital. They said do an all-round body check. You have been traveling. When they now checked me, they discovered the acid content of my stomach was higher because of excessive dehydration. They now checked and discovered the wall of my stomach had thickened. And the doctor told me this is a miracle because you are supposed to have an ulcer. But there are few people who, if they don't have ulcer, their stomach becomes sticky so that the abrasion from the acid will not affect their stomach. But we needed to generate enough power for destiny. Imagine now that sometimes you run a schedule where you can't pray for 1 week. There are times when you travel, you are on the flight for 18 hours. When you reach, you are preaching back to back. And then you finish, you hit the same flight 18 hours. When you come back for 2 days, you are like a dead man. We had generated power reserve 7 years ago. Because when God was putting that burden in us, he saw today. Meanwhile, you are a young man. There are battles around you. And there's a glorious destiny that those battles will not allow you to fulfill. And you cross your leg and say, we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I will show you some scriptures. Jesus was speaking to his disciples. He said, this kind goeth not but by prayer and fasting. Because there is such a thing called this kind. There are some casual demons that will hear you and say, it's true, it's true. Some other demons, when you say it, you provoke them. You say, is this so? Is that so? Okay, let's test you. Don't be tested when you don't have power. There will be crisis. You can't do without power. And so the first thing you need to know about fasting is that we fast always. We don't fast in January. We don't fast when church declares fasting. If church declares fasting, that is good. But whether they declare it or not, we live fasting. We live a fasted life. That's the secret of victory in this realm. Ask anybody making genuine impact. You can make impression and people will look at you and assume things are happening. Time will reveal that thing is fake. If what you are doing is genuine, you must put fasting at the foundation. If it is not there, it will fail. Because Jesus himself told us that fasting is a compulsory part of our syllabus. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 16 to 17, he said, when thou fastest, and that when is numerous. Because when he was teaching this, he was teaching it with prayer. when thou prayest. And when they asked him about prayer, he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And when he was praying, he said, give us this day our daily bread. So if you eat bread daily, you pray daily. If you pray daily, then you fast daily. Because prayer and fasting are on the same scale. If you don't make it a part of your life, especially now that you are young, when the evil day comes, you'll be shocked. I've seen great destinies uprooted as if their lives is nothing. I've seen great people with great possibilities cut off from existence as if God never existed. And sometimes I go back to question God, why would you allow this to happen? He said, if you are overtaken in the evil day, it means your strength is little. So what will keep you in the evil day is the strength that you have built. And that strength comes in fasting. There are people who come to say, the Bible says we shouldn't fast. That we are only told to fast within that window of 40 days that Jesus went to heaven. Because Jesus was speaking, he said, the bridegroom is with them, so they shouldn't fast. When the bridegroom is taken, then they can fast. And the bridegroom was only taken for 40 days. 40 days later, the Holy Ghost came. So now the bridegroom is with them. So fasting is not a must. Read your Bible again. In Matthew 9:15, he said they will fast when the bridegroom is taken away. That's true. But that's not all he said about fasting. Because in Matthew 17:21, he said, this kind goeth not but by prayer and fasting. And when he was talking, the bridegroom was with them. So even if the bridegroom is with you, and you don't fast, if the discount come, you'll be in trouble. And because you don't know when the discount will come, you must make fasting a vital part of your existence. I was talking to a lady the other time. She heard my messages and she was convicted. She came in from the United Kingdom. And when she came, we were fasting. So she said, my God, she wanted to join us. She was so fascinated that we were fasting. This lady was 28 years old. And I said, when was the last time you fasted? She said she has never fasted before. You are 28 years old. You have never fasted. No wonder God is like a story in the textbook to you. When she was on fire and she wanted to fast, she went 6 to 12. That was a feat in the spirit. She had broken a world record that she fasted 6 to 12. My God. My son cannot be 12 years old if he has not mastered fasting from 6 to 12. What are you doing at the age of 12? It's a wonder that she's able to fast from 6 to 12. You see why Europe is now becoming cold? Because they took God into theology seminary and they wrote textbooks about God and trapped him in theology. When you come, they show you theological textbooks that existed 100 years ago. So they have all the theology, but God is cursed because they violated the ancient landmarks. And that's why God is depending on Africa, because we went back to excavate God the rugged way. And so when we talk, it's beyond intelligence. It's a life that is communicated. And one of those things that make you presently carrying God is fasting. And it's not what you do once in a while. It's what you do regularly in your life. Not because you are a preacher, but because you want to live a victorious life. Else, the power will be in you, but you will die with it. It will not be your portion in Jesus' name. How do you fast? Let me give you three quickly. The essence of my teaching tonight is for you to learn something and practice. If I conclude, maybe 5 minutes to go, I will shift the atmosphere a bit. Because some people love fire only. If there's no fire, cry. Oh God, oh God. So because of such people, maybe 5 minutes to go. If I sense the movement, I will latch on. Praise God. How do you fast? Number one, when you fast, basically fasting, like you know, is to starve yourself from distraction, including food, in order to see God. That's what fasting is. Starve yourself of distractions, both illegitimate and legitimate distractions, in order to allow you time to seek God. So if you are not seeking God, you are not fasting. It could be a hunger strike. Are we together? But in addition to avoidance of such things, there are a few things that must be added to that starving process while you are here seeking God. And that's what I mean when I say, how do you fast? You fast with righteous living. If you are fasting and your life and your lifestyle is not consistent with the standard of righteousness, stop. You are wasting your time. God will reject you. So fasting is not just a time of avoiding food. It's actually a time of calling your attention to righteous and just living. Because it is that just living that validates that fast before God. Many persons are fasting, they are oppressing the house girl. The child is eating chicken, the house girl is drinking garri without sugar. You just went on hunger strike for 40 days. You didn't fast. Because that wicked act will make God abhor that you're fasting in his realm. Somebody is fasting and is oppressing his workers at work. Pay salary, you won't pay. You carry their money, you put in fixed deposit. You want to generate some quick interest. Why somebody's child is driven from school? Why somebody has no food to eat and you come to church, you say, you are a spiritual person. They call you a woman of God. You say, bless you, bless you. You are a wolf in sheep clothing. A wolf. You say you are fasting. Somebody is laboring, trying to make progress in life, and you are doing everything possible to stop that person. That is not fasting. Don't kill yourself. This is why many people have ulcer. Because the power of God does not come, the presence of God does not come to shield them. If you go hungry for a long time, it can kill you. The reason that hunger does not affect your system is because the presence of God comes to shield you. Why do you think Moses was able to stay without food and water for 40 days? It was because of the intensity of the presence of God. And so if you don't fast correctly, that excess hunger will trigger a negative reaction that will destroy you. But if you fast correctly, that fasting can become even of medicinal value. Because fasting also has medical value. Neurological disorders are corrected through fasting. Tumors and the potential of having tumors is destroyed through fasting. Hemostatic balance is restored through fasting. Are we following? But if you don't fast the right way, the protocol will be reverted. You will begin with ulcer symptoms. Somebody is fasting, he's doing witchcraft on another person, trying to pull him down, trying to destroy him. That is not a fast. So how do you fast? You fast with a consciousness and a vital living of righteousness. If you are not living rightly, you will have a challenge. That's why every time people fast, repentance is activated. Because fasting that is approved of God must have righteousness as a mark, a punch mark that defines and validates it. Isaiah 58, verse 3 to 6, New Living Translation. I want you to hear this thing, let it sink. So you don't just know it, but you practice it. Get me the scripture quickly. Isaiah 58, verse 3 to 6. He said, we have fasted before you. Why aren't you impressed? They're asking God. We thought you say you love fasting. We have fasted. Why are you not impressed? We have been very hard on ourselves. Have you found some people who fast? They want to literally kill themselves. Because they think God is impressed when their leaves become dry like rock. If there's no righteousness, God won't see it. They say, we have not just fasted, we were hard on ourselves. And they say, you don't even notice it. And God answered, I will tell you why. It's because you are fasting to pleasure yourself, to please yourself. How can you be hungry to please yourself? When the spirit is talking, sometimes it's difficult to understand. How can you be hard on yourself to please yourself? What kind of pleasing yourself is that? I thought when you want to please yourself, you look for a succulent environment that can create some form of massage and relaxation. How can you be hard on yourself and you say it's pleasing yourself? But it's the spirit talking. It says, even while you fast, you keep oppressing your workers. So that fasting is wrong. You are fasting and you are oppressing your workers. Go to the next verse. He said, what good is fasting when you keep on fighting and quarreling? He said, this kind of fasting will never get you anywhere with me. If it's me you are trying to journey with, you have wasted your time. You will not go anywhere with me. Go next. He said, you humble yourself by going through the motion of penance. And I wish I had time to tell you about penance. What these people do when they are fasting, some people will go barefooted and climb a mountain. Their whole leg will be full of blister. They are doing penance. Some is on their knees. And they will even be reciting some things. On their knees, and they will climb a mountain. The whole knee will be torn with blood. And then they hope God will see it and say, my daughter, I have seen the way you've humbled yourself. That is not the God of heaven. God actually acknowledged that they humbled themselves. They say you humbled yourselves by going through the motion of penance, bowing your heads like reeds bending in the wind. They say you dress in burlap and cover yourself with ashes. That is dereputation. So they did everything right. He says, is this what you call fasting? Is it by pouring ashes on yourself? Is it by penance? Is it by humbling yourself? That's God talking. He said, do you really think this will please the Lord? Now go to the next verse. I'm showing you how to fast. Some people think fasting is just about avoiding food. And then they'll come and say, I didn't eat for the first 14 days. The next 7 days, I drank only water. And then the last day, I didn't eat anything. God bless you. But God is not counting that yet until this is gotten. He said, no. This is the kind of fasting I want. He said, free those who are wrongly in prison. Lighten the burdens of those who work for you. He said, let the oppressed go free. Remove the chains that bind people. You can't claim you are fasting. You are pulling somebody down. You are destroying somebody. He said, to subvert a man in his course, the Lord approved not. So if you don't want to waste your time, better eat healthy. Don't have kwashiorkor until you have done the right thing. You are doing keeping malice, backbiting, and you say you are fasting. When you finish counting that day, delete it, because it wasn't recorded in heaven. And so the first way to fast is to fast through righteous living and just living. If your way is not just, you have just successfully gone on a hunger strike. Number two, how do you fast? This is January. Many people are fasting. Okay, let me add another scripture. Because the Bible said it is two or three witnesses that establishes a truth. Jeremiah 14:12. It said, when they fast, I will not hear. When I read some scriptures, my heart will shake quickly. What are you saying, Lord? This fasting that I fasted and suddenly having headache, you didn't hear? Should I die? The Bible said, him that is in the grave cannot praise thee. Why will you not hear? He said, when they offer burnt offerings and an oblation, I will not accept them. He said, but I will consume them by my sword and by famine and by pestilence. You read that scripture down, you know why he said so. Because there was no righteousness in what they do. Because you are a major. Every other person is a slave. You come, you kick them. You have an ego. So you can oppress people. There is one that is above all of us. And the way he judges us is how we treat others. So there is no fasting except as justice is reestablished. And that's why every time people begin to fast correctly, they start repenting. The sign that your fasting is beginning to affect you is not hunger. The sign that your fasting is beginning to affect you is that your conscience will start being pricked. And every injustice you are involved in, you'll start repenting. If that fasting has not affected your conscience, may it not affect your appetite. Because if you restore food, you only handled hunger. You didn't achieve anything in the spirit. Because justice
is the first requirement for accurate fasting. Number two, how do you fast?
You fast with prayers. Somebody is fasting, he is watching, he gathers all the seasonal movies.
Thank God, it's a week of fasting. He's looking for what to do to cover time. Because after he prayed the third time, it was 10:40 a.m. And he's supposed to go up to 3 o'clock. Meanwhile, 12 is like Mount Everest. And so in order to journey to the top of the mountain without knowing, he is now substituting another distraction with the distraction he took away in form of food. He will now go and gather prison break. He watched season 1 to season 3, the first 2 days of the fast. The next 4 days, he goes to season 12. And then he will say, we just canceled 14 days. Where? Are you going to Mount Zion or you are going to Hollywood? This is why people have ulcer fasting. Because they are not praying. They are not studying. In the New Testament, almost every time the word fasting is used, prayer is added. I just quoted for you Matthew 17:21. This kind goeth not but by what? Prayer and fasting. When Jesus was teaching about fasting in Matthew 6, prayer was also taught there. You can't separate fasting from prayer. Because when a man fasts, he is trying to seek the face of God. And so the fasting separates him from worldly distraction. It is the prayer that carries him to the God realm. God does not move because you fast. You are the one who moves. And so if you separate yourself from food and you don't move in the direction of God through prayer, any other thing you do at that time, the impact will be stronger because at that time your spirit is sensitive. If you watch a movie at that time, a demon of lust can enter you because your antenna is sharp. The moment you start fasting and mortifying the flesh, you will notice that spiritual sensitivity begins to increase. And so it is foolishness to fast without praying. Because when your antenna is sensitive, that's when you want to receive feedback. And so the second way to fast is to fast with prayer. If you know that your itinerary is too choked and you won't have time to pray, reschedule that fast. So you don't allow evil enter your soul. Your soul is porous when you fast. The reason you pray when you fast is because you want God to saturate you. If you don't give God time of prayer, something else can saturate you easily. And so fasting must be done with prayer. If there's no prayer, it's not fasting. It's hunger strike. And I can tell you, many people go on 40 days fast. All of the prayer they pray put together is not up to 3 hours. In a 40 days fasting, 40 days, they counted days, but they never struck chords in the spirit. And they come back and say they fasted for 40 days. No, you didn't. And so fasting must be done with prayer. When Jesus went to the wilderness to fast, in Matthew chapter 4, the Bible said he prayed and fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. Jesus didn't fast for 40 days. Jesus prayed and fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. That's how it's done. Believers are marking time and not the spirit. And they say they are fasting. This is why you can't come out with the benefits of fasting. If you don't fast correctly, the guarantee of having benefit is not there. You can only receive the benefit of fasting when you fast correctly. Are we together? The third way to fast is to fast with genuine repentance. Jonah chapter 3 verse 5. When Jonah went with the message to Nineveh, the Bible said they tore their clothes, they poured ashes on their heads, and everybody from the king to all the citizens and the beasts in the land, he said they began to fast and to repent. He says, so the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. And they turned to the Lord. If a man is not repenting, he is not yet fasting. Because fasting will provoke genuine repentance. This is why we encourage fasting. And if you want to fast correctly, you must fast with justice. You must fast with prayer and you must fast with repentance. If you begin to fast like this, then there are benefits. And so let me enumerate the benefits to you. I'm listing them so you will focus on them when you are fasting. One of the things God taught me was the fact that power is conducted through your consciousness. If you are going for a meeting and your goal is for people to fall down, people won't fall because you prayed. People will actually fall because you channel your consciousness in that direction. I've demonstrated this many times. I can call somebody and look at him. And as I'm looking at him, I will pull him down with my mind. I've generated the power through prayers, but I will conduct the power through consciousness. People ask questions. Why don't cameramen fall? We don't want them to fall. If they fall, who will record? Even if the cameraman wants to fall, we bring him back to stand. How dare you fall where? If you fall, how will the world see what God is doing? The cameramen don't fall because the power is not without spiritual intelligence. We channel the power through our consciousness. This is why consciousness is very important. If I'm praying for the sick here, sometimes the reason we talk is because we are directing power. But we don't only direct power through talking. I can want to pray here, and I begin to exercise my focus in the spirit to see growth vanish. When you start taking testimonies, that's the highest testimony you will see. Because even though the power was released, a higher percentage of the power went in that direction. If you start walking in a dimension, it is your consciousness that will determine the predominant aspect of that dimension. For those who walk in the healing anointing, there are those who are like experts of deafness. Because they built consciousness around it so much, and sometimes it's because maybe their loved ones were deaf or something happened around it, so they are aggravated when they see people who are deaf. So unconsciously they have channeled their minds to deal with deaf issues. Some deal with cancers, some deal with cripples. That's the area of predominant consciousness. So largely the power generated will travel in that direction. God does not function with you outside your soul and your mind. Make no mistakes about it. The quality of manifestation you have is reflected to the quality of your mind. If your mind is wrong, your manifestation will be wrong. If your mind is weak, your manifestation will be weak. When you see people operate in excellence, it's not because God is the spirit of excellence. Yes, God is the spirit of excellence, but it is your mind that will reflect him excellently. That's why you go to certain places, you find the best of excellence. You go to other places, it's like a market square. It's the same God, but mind separating God into different expressions. And so, the reason I'm sharing with you these benefits is not just to outline them. It's so that when you are fasting, you will channel your consciousness in this direction. And then the power you generate through fasting will begin to create these effects. Do you understand this now? Praise God. And so number one benefit of fasting is to release power. When you are fasting, don't put your attention on time. Don't put your attention on the hunger. For those of you who have fasted, you will notice you become hungry usually at the time you eat. If you don't eat in the morning when you are fasting, you won't feel hungry in the morning. I'm not talking about those who fast occasionally. They tell you, today that I want to fast, hunger want to kill me. You fast once in 3 months, so anything can happen to you. But if you are a regular person who fasts, you will notice that if you eat by 1 p.m., the moment is 1 p.m., you want to die of hunger. Because hunger is an alarm system that you need to eat to stay healthy. If you don't eat by 1:30, 1:40, 2 o'clock, you discover your body will advise itself and hormones will be secreted. Glycogen will be converted back to glucose and your body will use it and you will gain balance. So hunger won't kill you. So when you are fasting, don't focus on hunger. Don't focus on time. Focus on power. Because what you are generating is power. That's why Jesus said, this kind goeth not but by prayer and fasting. Because the power required to dislodge the demon can only be generated from fasting.
The reason many persons don't really make the most of fasting is because their consciousness is in the wrong direction. When you find me fasting, I tell myself, I'm an envelope of power. I emit power. I generate power. And a point came, I started exercising it. I can come to a meeting and deliberately shut down the whole atmosphere. If I fast to a meeting, sometimes I make everywhere boring. And when everywhere is boring, I start giving instructions. Because I need to prove this thing to myself first. That what I did, I actually came with power. And then I'll begin testing the waters. I can give instruction. I want the Holy Ghost to baptize 3 persons now. And when I talk, usually when you are learning it, your mind is not yet strong to channel. Doubt and fear will be attacking. You'll be stabilizing your mind. You speak in tongues. That tongue you are speaking, you are not talking to God. You are correcting your mind. Come on, shut down. Be careful. What are you doing? Shabba, rabba, rabba. People will now see you and say, ha! Ha! Man of prayer. No, you are correcting. You are redirecting. Noise is trying to interject with the frequency of power. And you say, 3 people, now God will... You are training yourself and you are operating in the spirit. When you master it, that's when you start enjoying it. You can enter a meeting and you sense something. You now tell yourself, I came here with a garment of power. And so those of you by the right, I want to give you a gift. Where is the gift coming from? It's not from heaven, it's coming from here. Because the power has created it. And you look at them and say, I decree now, doors open. It will be like joke, it will happen. And even what I said now is like joke. I wish you understand this. I would have demonstrated it, but this is EGMI. If I do it now, somebody watching will say, forget, he has brainwashed the people. That's why those of us who are traveling ministers, when we talk, hear us. Because we are not talking to people who we discipled. I don't know how they do it. When I come, I change the atmosphere. You are like a tornado. The wind can be blowing towards the right. The tornado will be coming from the right to the left. The tornado is not part of the atmosphere. It is the atmosphere. And so when you master these things, things are not working. You say, okay, this is the opportunity to test. Somebody comes to you and say, I've not been able to sleep for 3 days. You don't pray. You now tell him, go and sleep. And get back to me in 24 hours. You didn't pray. You know you carry power. So you spoke power. That time now, that's not English language. That's power talking. And the person will go and sleep and come back to you and say, my God, I was able to sleep. What happened? No, you now tell yourself, it didn't work. 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 You know what you now do? You go forward. Somebody comes to you and say, he's deaf. You say, since when have you been deaf? Let me see. Ear open. You say, check. I can hear. You now tell yourself, check where, check where, check where. And then as you say, check where, you start telling them, you know, God is real. God is real. God is real. They don't know what you are doing. You are in the school of the spirit. Because you know that fasting generates power. Now you are fasted for 1 month. How will you test it? If the power is not available, then it's hunger strike. If I fasted correctly for 1 month, one of the things I must see is power. And power is not taught, power is manifested. If the power is there, the proof that is there is that work will be done. And most of the work that will be done supernaturally. My friends are here, they will tell you. Sometimes I'm driving with them and I say, car, I think I need this thing now. They will laugh, okay, talk. Sometimes in 48 hours, that thing will come. They do not say talk. You were saying it yesterday. Me too, I will say talk. All of us will be doing talk until you find fasting. Because it's not happening because you are special. It's happening because there is something you are doing. And you know what you want to achieve by doing what you are doing. This is what separates emotion from reality. And so when I'm fasting, I'm not moved by what I'm feeling. I can feel and I cannot feel. But I know that fasting generates power. So while I'm fasting, my focus is on power. The power must come. And so when I fast, I gauge it. When I fast, I gauge it. When I fast, I gauge it. And then I can tell when I'm growing. because of the things I can change by talking casually. So when you fast, don't focus on time. Focus on power. Number two, fasting engenders favor. Favor. Favor is a currency in the spirit. Especially for those who have visions. What you need is not a domiciliary account. What you need is a favor account. You can have a domiciliary account that will be dry for 10 years. Have favor. What will make or move a man to leave his relatives to help you is not the color of your skin. There are two major things favor will do for you. One, it will make men submit to you. And number two, it will make resources gravitate in your direction. The Bible said God gave favor to the Israelites. That was all he needed to give them before they left Egypt. And he said they spoiled the Egyptians. People came to give them gold. They don't know why. Somebody came to my house today to give a Rolex. She said she will give it next week. But she couldn't sleep. She couldn't rest. That thing, that oil, that perfume made it impossible for her. She will roll. When she couldn't sleep again, she said, I'll give it now. Where are you? It's like she lost her sleep. And if I tell you how many things have come to me this year only. Some people have not received it in 10 years. It's not because I'm a pastor. It's because I have favor. But one of the ways you provoke this element of favor is by fasting. A man who fasts is like aromating himself. When you come out, something will happen to you. Let me read you a scripture so I don't overstretch it. Esther chapter 4 verse 16. Now, in those days in Shushan, the king is so big, he had over 120 provinces. Those were the days when if a king wants to celebrate birthday, the birthday of a king is for 3 months. They will celebrate from one province to another. By the time they go around the whole provinces, birthday would have been 3 months in celebration. And so because of the things the king has to attend to, even if you are his wife, if he doesn't call you into the court and you enter, you will be beheaded. That was the law of the land. And then there was a manipulation to destroy Israel. And somebody needed to see the king before the time of the verdict that was given. And so the only thing you would need in order to break those protocols will be favor. But these people were wise. And this is what the young maiden said. Esther 4 verse 16. He said to Mordecai to tell the Israelites. He said, go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan. He said, fast here for me. Neither eat nor drink for 3 days or 3 nights. I also and my maidens will fast likewise. And so will I go into the king, which is not according to the law. And he said, if I perish, I will perish. Because if you violate that law, you will perish. But she was trying to provoke something that will authorize her to break protocols. Now go to chapter 4, verse 1. Shame on Satan. Go to chapter 4, verse 1. 5, verse 1. And see what happened. Somebody wants to deliberately break protocols. What kind of audacity is that? You see why when a believer is complaining, the angels are wondering, have you read the Bible? Have you not seen the things that happened before you came? How can you say people hate you? How can you say you are not favored? See, some people think the reason your message is accepted is because it's on every platform. They now pay and put it on every platform. Nobody will now click. You don't know spirit. Some people think the reason your message will be heard is because of the intelligent exegesis. And so they are explaining Bible with Bible, scripture with scripture. If they want to explain one thing, they use 24 scriptures. And they are explaining it. And when you finish, nobody will look at it. The reason, men, we have your time in this busy world is because favor will stop them. The reason, men, we have will give you attention is because something will be on you that will make it impossible for them to neglect you. They made him knew this. And so she deliberately wanted to break. See, power is beautiful when it doesn't happen by fluke. When you can make it happen. You can make it. You know what to do to make it happen. That was the demonstration of the excellency of the spirit that was revealed here. That somebody tells you, you are finished. And you say, no, I'm not. I'm not, not because I trust anything, but I know what to do. Somebody tells you, you will be kicked out. And you tell yourself, I can never be kicked out. Not me. And you know what to do. And you do it and get the result. Such was the demonstration that this queen showcased here. He said, now it came to pass on the third day, the moment fasting was over. He said that Esther put on her royal apparel. Are you seeing something? She put on fasting before she put on royal apparel. Some people are putting on royal apparels without fasting. You are going for the job interview. You wore a suit, ironed your shirt, and everything was fitted. The moment you enter, the person who is interviewing you will say, Kai, if I employ this person, he will kick me out of this office. And even though you qualify, he will reject you. The suit that looks excellent will be the reason why you will not be employed. Because you have put on the royal apparel without putting on fasting. You bring a proposal and they now read it and say, my God, so this kind of thing is possible. They will say, get back to us. They will go and change the title of that proposal and turn it to the house. You don't know this word. You don't know this word. They will turn the proposal to their own and tell you, you know, we can't fund that project. After 2 months, you will now see your project with another name flying. Is this not my project? Yes, it's your project, but they bought it over. He said, now it came to pass on the third day that Esther put on the royal apparel and stood in the inner court of the king's house, over against the king's house, and the king sat upon his royal throne in the royal house, over against the gate of the house. Go forward. He said, and it was so when the king saw Esther, the queen, standing in the court, that she obtained. This is why she fasted. He said, when the king saw her, she obtained favor in the sight of the king. And the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. So Esther drew near, and the king touched the top of the scepter on her. Now, this favor is not English. See the impact. Hear what the king said. It is foolishness to utter such things. But when favor is at work, men actually become foolish. He said, the king said unto her, what will thou, Queen Esther? That is, what do you want me to do for you? And what is thy request? She has not asked. He said, it will be given thee even up to half of my kingdom. A man is not just willing to give you a gift. He wants to divide his kingdom. If you want to be a co-king with me, I will give it to you. What did she do? She fasted. You see why you have spoken the whole English for 2 hours. They say, okay, wait outside, we'll get back to you. And you have been waiting for 7 months. Because you didn't add fasting to your oratory. You only came with lingo. Thank God for Queen's English. But spirits don't hear it. How can a king tell you, I will give you up to half of my kingdom if you ask? What did you come with? I came with favor. How did you generate it? I generated it through fasting. And so when you are fasting, instead of being mindful of time, be mindful of favor. When that fasting begins to affect you, tell yourself, I'm submerged in favor. I'm submerged. Favor is beginning to arise on my inside. And when you step out from that fasting altar, you become audacious. Because you know you have done something. And that thing you have done has an implication. That implication is a provoker of favor. You see why believers are defeated. They are not doing the things that are available to them. You now fast in January for 21 days. You exhaust the favor you generated in February. Meanwhile, your warfare began in April. By the time battle starts, favor has finished. Don't your perfume finish? Do you buy one perfume and use it for 10 years? No matter how powerful. And so if you want favor to be constant, you will keep fasting constant. This is what believers don't know. They are just quoting scriptures. It's not every scripture you quote. Somebody will now come and see this and say, because Esther had favor, I have favor. Do you have 3 days dry fast? This thing was provoked. Romans 15:4 said, the things that were written aforetime, they were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scripture might have hope. So next time before you go to see the senator, take a 3 days fast. Don't just throw there with your diary. Don't throw there with your proposal. Go there with fasting. That's why we teach like this. To teach you how to dominate life. Next time before you open your shop and start the business for the year, put 7 days fast. So that when you open that door, even when your billboard is not working, the angels will invite them. Because it's not everybody that will seek you through advert. Some will not know why they came. If you ask them, they'll tell you, I don't know. A brother walked into this place the other time and we said, what happened? He said, he doesn't know. He was just walking and he came in. You can't depend on all you are doing to succeed. You need something supernatural added to what you are doing. And so there are some physical activities that have spiritual implications. And so if you want to go ahead in life, instead of doing only the physical activities with physical implication, add physical activities that have spiritual implications. The Bible said when Aaron and Hur held the hand of Moses, Joshua was winning. That's a physical activity with spiritual implication. The same way, fasting is a physical activity with spiritual implication. Too many persons are dry of favor. They have the best of ideas, but there's no favor in their lives. And so the people that should help them are asleep. I wish I can share some testimonies, but it's a body. Since we're online, let me keep it. If I start sharing testimonies here, you will shout. I told my prayer people 2 days ago, they say, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. What's going on here? And this is not about ministry. This is not, it has nothing to, see, these things I'm teaching you, please do them. I'm begging you, do them. The results will convince you more than the message. Do them. They gave us the land, 1.5 hectares in Wuye. Estimated to worth at least 1.8 billion. And then we said, okay, because we can't park in quick, let's build a 2,000-seater auditorium first so that we can move in and then we'll start our project. And somebody strolled to look at the land. This is the land that was given to you. What do you say you want to do? I say we want to build a 7,000-seater auditorium. But because of our time, we want to do 2,000 first. And he said, okay, I'll get my people, we'll build it in 2 weeks. That's not the testimony. We will build it in 2 weeks. You know the cost? It's more than 200 million. As if that's not enough. As he now came, let's see the land so that we can bring stuffs to the field. Bulldozers are... He now saw 2 hectares by the side. Is that about this one? I said, well, we don't know who owns it. He said, okay, I will call now. Let's find out the owner so we'll add it. When they say fast, it's not story. So, my work is not to carry cement. My work is to fast. And so when I'm fasting, angels are walking. And I told my friend, I said, I don't know what God is telling him, but God should keep talking. You don't know how this realm is controlled. You don't know. You don't know. You go out and sat down and copied a CV from the owner of Microsoft. That CV is excellent. But it will take something more than the intelligence of the CV for the CV to be approved. I can't talk. If I'm talking, if I say some things, I'll need security escort. And I don't want to start carrying security yet. Because if people see you, they will think you are proud. So sometimes it's better to keep the things God is doing quietly so that you'll be moving under the shadow. Should I talk? You will shout. You will shout. Fasting is the trigger of favor. Another person called me to Lokogoma. I said, I heard you have a project of land. He said, come and see this 6 plots if you like it. I came and looked at it. Well, my job is to come and see. No, let me stop here for security reasons. Sit down. Fasting. See, if you have favor, you have rest. Trust me when I tell you. Trust me. When I tell you, trust me. Things that you cannot buy by saving for 10 years will be given to you for free. And you'll be wondering how. Favor. What is the third benefit of fasting? Fasting opens you up to the voice of God and to encounters. You need strategic direction. In Acts chapter 10, from verse 1 to 4 and verse 30, we saw a man who does not have the right to participate in the commonwealth of Israel. His name was Cornelius. But he knew prayer and fasting and giving of alms. The Bible said in verse 30, as he fasted, he said, an angel appeared to him and said to him, go and call Peter. He will come and tell you the word of this life. If a man begins to fast, the heavens over him opens. Daniel chapter 9, Daniel chapter 10. The man said in verse 2, Daniel 9, I understood by books the years of captivity of Israel. But even though he had understanding, he didn't have the power until he went on 21 days fast. The moment he was done fasting, the Bible said Gabriel appeared. The moment a man begins to fast, his heavens begin to open. The reason some people walk as if they are walking under closed heavens is because their appetites are too bogus. Trim your appetites through fasting and see the heavens open to you. Who told you it's everything about your destiny you should pay for? Do you know the worth of your destiny? Who told you you can pay for it? The Bible said your sons and your daughters will come from afar. It says strangers, people you have no connection with, it said they will stand to build your walls. And so the greatest thing about your life is even strangers that will sponsor it. But it will take a kind of power to make it happen. And that power is fasting. Find people who have periodic encounters, who hear the voice of God casually. They put their appetites in check. When a man doesn't control appetite, God will be far from him. He has God on his inside, but he will not be real to him. Number 4, what is the benefit of fasting? Fasting creates atmospheres of intervention. I was telling my people here, I said, don't be pessimistic about life. It's not only bad things that happen to people. Good things also happen to people. If you lose money, you should also pick money. All the time they say, I lost this money, I lost that. How many times have you picked money? If you don't pick money, then you are not permitted to lose money. Because it's not only bad things that happen, good things also happen. They kick you out of the door. When will doors open on their own accord? You will need an atmosphere to control and to command that level of power. The moment Daniel started fasting, like I quoted, the Bible said Angel Gabriel appeared and he told him, I was made to fly swiftly. That means the angel was a bit reluctant. Something compelled him to function even faster. When you create that atmosphere, anything is possible. In Acts 13 verse 1 and 2, it said, when the elders of the church in Antioch prayed and fasted and ministered to the Lord, it says, suddenly the Holy Ghost said. That atmosphere is an atmosphere of possibilities. Fasting is not a church activity. Fast on your job. Fast in your office. And if you are the boss, get your workers to fast. If you want unexplainable but undeniable things to happen there. Some people think it's only when we gather in church we fast. Who told you that? Is it only in church miracles take place? You need more miracles in the world than you need in the church. And so if you want interventions, supernatural interventions on that job, better include fasting. Get your workers to fast. If it's a church-based organization, better. Pray in the office. Fast in the office. It's only Christians that think Christianity is an ancient religion that is meant only for church. And
enter an Indian restaurant, the first thing you will see is the God. If you don't want to eat, go. And it's not only in India. Go to the UK, find them there. Their God is the first thing they travel with.
People travel with their God.
But you find a Christian, he's too educated, an elitist for God. He comes to the office, he's speaking, hello, hello. Then demons will slap them off the seat. They wake up and say, I have headache, he's not finishing. Why will he finish? He wakes up, he says, stroke, I don't know why I can't bend my back. How can you bend your back when you left your God in church? The Muslim guy, somebody was telling me, he went to see a top director in this country on a Friday. He came with international delegates to conclude a government project and program. The Alhaji told them, please wait, it's time for prayer. He carried his mat, put on one side of his office and started praying. They waited until he finished praying. When he finished, they said, sorry. He is surprised if you don't know that he should do it. And he will be surprised if you are offended. He can cancel that thing and say, go to hell. But a Christian, his God will always wait. And that's why when the devil comes, usually he comes when his God is waiting. And his doors are porous for attacks and destruction. Fasting is not church activity. It's part of church activity, but it's a lifestyle. Because you will need daily interventions. And so when you are fasting, be conscious of intervention. He said, the Lord shall be a wall of fire around you. He said, angels shall encompass around you. So when you start fasting, these things should become aware and realities to your spirit. When things want to happen with you, tell yourself, no, I'm an impregnable fortress. Because when I was fasting, it was not a religious activity. I was creating a wall of fire around myself. Things don't happen to me. I make things happen. When we talk like that, it's because of what we are doing. Number five, fasting is an activator of ordinations. Every time people begin to fast, dimensions of their ordinations begin to wake up. Your ordination will be dormant until you fast. In Matthew 4 verse 1 and 2, the Bible said, the Holy Ghost drove Jesus to the wilderness to be tempted. And he said, Jesus fasted and prayed for 40 days. The moment he returned, his ordination was activated. He entered the temple and began to preach the gospel immediately. In Acts 13 verse 1 and 2, as they fasted and ministered to the Lord, the Holy Ghost says, separate unto me, Paul and Barnabas. Many believers come to tell you, what is my calling? The question is not, what is my calling, is should I fast? Because if you are fasting, you won't ask somebody about your calling. Your ordination will not be awoken until fasting becomes your lifestyle. And don't make a man, another man, gives you a destiny that was not written for you. Because men have programs, men have projects, men have institutions. You must be aware of your ordination first. If it's God leading you to work with someone, that's beautiful. It's God leading you. But if you don't know your ordination, don't be tied to something when there is a calling for you. It will take fasting to be aware of it. So you don't live through life and not even scratch your destiny. Because there are many persons who are not aware why they came here. And the reason they are not aware is because fasting is not part of their daily menu. They eat everything at every time. Somebody wakes up in the morning around 7:30, he's already yawning. He starts with granite, he enters chin-chin. He takes tea, he now takes akara. Are you an eater? By 12 o'clock, he has eaten 3 times. He just took indomie at home. He gets to work, he takes tea. Before you know what is happening, there's light refreshment. This is how they'll be doing their hands. They'll be putting food in their mouth stylishly. Are you a glutton? Will you eat your destiny? O'clock, you've eaten 3 times and you want to fulfill destiny. You want to affect your generation. You. How many serious people will commit themselves to you? You think I'm working with you. I walk into your office by 10, you are eating. I come another time, you are eating. You will still see me there. You are not going anywhere. Go and look for a food contest. That's where your destiny is. Ask those who walk around me, they know. And those I travel to minister for, they know. Sometimes I go to a place to preach. I eat only twice in 4 days. Did I come here to feast? When I went to Pakistan, I was there for 7 days. I ate less than 6 times. The guy looked at me and said, "What do you eat? Is the food not good?" I said, "Don't worry, this stomach is locked." I came to the Middle East. I come to an Asian continent to contend with the forces of Islam. And then I will say, "Wow, what kind of food is this? Wow, this is a good meal. How do you prepare it? Am I a chef?" Some will eat and eat and tell you, "My God, what are the ingredients? Did you come into this world to learn about ingredients? You don't know what the urgency of your destiny is about. You are learning ingredients. And then every day you are bringing new style, new flavor, and new fragrance." He said, "They prayed and fasted, and the Holy Ghost said." That means the Holy Ghost would not have spoken if they didn't fast. And that's why many destinies are still locked. Great potential. Every prophet tells you they are seeing a crown on your head. But that crown never manifests because food won't let it. You need to see some people eating. They will take off their shirt, remove their shirt. As they are eating, they are rubbing their head. Aye. Some will be rubbing their tummy. All kinds of Abba. In this world where people are walking round the clock, there are some people in this world. It was Bishop Oyedepo that said, "You don't sleep long, you sleep to be refreshed." And so if you sleep for 3 hours and you are refreshed, you have slept enough. And it was David Ogboeli that said, "The difference between night and day is light." Nobody said you must sleep in the night. If you sleep in the morning, you have slept for the day. On light in the night and walk. That's how people are thinking and dominating their world. You are there doing, you bring a chef, you bring a nutritionist, and you are following timetable. This is what you eat in the morning, this is what you eat in the afternoon, this is what you eat in the evening. And in case you don't sleep early, take hot tea by 11 so that you can rest where you can rest. There is a place to rest forever and ever. It's called the grave. If you are not careful, you will go there soon. When people are pressing into destiny, how unfortunate that certain destinies are not fulfilled just because of food. It will not be your portion. Everything written about you, you will manifest it in your lifetime. And you will not even do it at old age. You will leave legacies while you are yet young. There is a power you activate when you fast. It's not a religious activity. It is a way of awakening your destiny. Do you know the destiny some men carry and they never realize it? When I became serious with my life was when I knew that there was nothing new under the sun. Because you don't know if what God called you to do is a continuation of what Paul was doing. If John could come in the spirit of Elijah, Elijah is not the only one that left the spirit. There is the spirit of Paul walking on the earth. How can I say I'm a preacher? I call myself an apostle. And I read what the apostles of old did. And I have luxury to sleep and eat what I want. I'm a joker. You are a businessman. Do you know the destiny you came to carry? Do you know the vacuum in destiny that you came to fulfill? Do you know the consecrations that power that destiny? Who told you can eat when you are hungry? They say, "Woe unto a city whose princes are children and eat for pleasure and not for strength." We don't eat for pleasure. We eat for strength. When you find a man of destiny eating, he's building strength to walk the works of his destiny. We don't eat because our appetite desire it. We have control over our appetite. You want to pray all night and they cook the delicious pounded yam. You say, "Kai, it's been long, I ate pounded yam." You don't know destiny. A sleep thing you should be drinking. because you have a journey that night. That's a mature person. That's somebody who has woken up to the demands of his ordination. Your ordination puts consecrations on you, and fasting is one of those consecrations. And blessed are you if you discover this early. Blessed are you. Nothing happens to anybody. When we started this walk, we knew we were going to begin in January. From November to December, we fasted for 40 days. The moment we entered January, we rested and fasted for 14 days. The moment we entered February, we fasted for 90 days. And that has become one of the foundational elements of this thing. And so when things are happening, they are not just happening. Thank God that they are happening. But certain things have been revealed. Certain things have been revealed. This is what makes the life of a man invincible. Check every great man. There is a time of mortifying appetites. There is a season of awakening ordination. And many times, those seasons are seasons of fasting. If Jesus, who was the Son of God, needed to fast for 40 days to become aware of his destiny, who told you you will avoid fast and fulfill destiny? Fasting triggers revival. If you are not fasting, your spiritual life will be up and down, up and down, up and down. Find a man who is constantly on fire. He has won the battle over food. He has conquered his appetite. Nothing kills the move of the spirit in a man's soul like his subscription to his appetite. You want to stay on fire for God? You must rule over your appetite. If you have not mastered your appetite, you cannot keep the fire of God. Every time there's a revival, men turn to God through fasting. Daniel 9 verse 3. Joel 2 verse 12. It's not possible to have revival without fasting. When God breaks upon the people, find out they've humbled themselves through fasting. And so instead of pursuing people and say, give me your fire, go and excavate yours on the altar of fasting. Because anything given to you can be taken. But anything you discover is yours forever. Nobody can take it away from you. I'm not on fire just because hands were laid on me. I have given myself to certain things. Pastor Victor knows. Anytime my spirit is going down, there's a 14 days prescription I have. I pray every 1 hour in every 3 hours. 6 to 7. 9 to 10. 12 to 1. 3 to 4. 6 to 7. I maintain that schedule for 14 days. And I read the New Testament with fasting and prayer. If I do that, oh my God, no matter how dead my battery is, it comes alive. Because one of the ways of setting yourself on fire is to engage consistently the altar of fasting. If you fast long enough, you will notice even the world will become noisy to you. Fast for 7 days and come out of your house and find out if you want to go to the studio to watch football. Even the football will become noisy. Sometimes you fast until even the atmosphere, you can censor it. The air is passing. You can pick every air that touches your body. Your sensitivity is that strong. There's a time I fast. If I exceed 21 days, even if I'm lying down sleeping, if somebody is at the door, I can wake up and tell you, Nathaniel is at the door. You can really read everything happening around you. You become like a radar. How can the devil take you unawares? If you are that revived, if you are that sensitive, it's impossible. Before anything happens, you arrest it in the heavenlies. You bind it there. It doesn't come to the earth realm. Christians are lukewarm because they've given themselves to everything that their appetites deserve or desire. That's why they cannot see the weight and the power of their destiny. Finally, fasting provokes reward. When a man is fasting, God is mindful. He rewards those who labor on the altar of fasting. Matthew 6 verse 16 and 17. He said, when you fast, don't behave like the Pharisees that makes people know that they are fasting. He said they have their reward. He said, but you, when you fast, he said, hide yourself. He said, when you do that kind of fasting, he said, your heavenly Father that sees in secret will reward you openly. Do you now see the secrets of glory? When you find a man, all men celebrate them. It's not gimmicks. It's not manipulation. There's something they've done in the closet. Fasting is one of it. When you find a man who talks and the whole generation listens, there's something he has done. That thing happening in the public is God's reward for his secret labor. And so when people don't fast, and they want to use manipulation to receive the honor that those who are fasting are receiving is spiritual fraud. So it's not like, it's not talking like a man or dressing like a man. It's the reward that only God puts on a man. And one of the things that provokes that level of reward is a life of fasting, consecrated to God in the place of fasting. If you are not fasting, you are doing yourself a disfavor. Because there are too many benefits that your life should have that will be denied you because you are not fasting. Want to pray in the Holy Ghost? Tonight is a baptism of hunger, a fresh hunger for God, a fresh hunger for the presence of God. Listen, there are many shifts that will happen to you. You are not just prepared, you are not ready. What was written concerning you, if it is released now, it will kill you. Last Sunday, a woman of God came here. She just stood up here, and as she waved her hand, the power of God began to move. And many persons ran to her, pray for me, pray for me. She just looked at them and laughed. When she went back to me, she told me two things. Number one, he said, most of them are immature. They just see things. Instead of asking about the consecration, they want to come and receive. It's not everything you carry. You carry something, it will kill you. And it's even the ones she wanted to pray for. She couldn't lay hands on them because she didn't want to put forces in their spirit. It will break their destiny. Forces. Forces. You see weight, you run. Say, who told you? The greatest things of destinies are not imparted. They are found. You will press. You say, ask, you'll receive. Seek, you'll find. Knock, the door will be open. Do you think honor can be conferred to you forever through impartation? Do you think a dimension of the spirit can just come to you by impartation and you keep it like that? Even if it is imparted, consecrations will be demanded. And so when you want to really make impact in life, you will find out what the patriarchs did. And you will hardly find a man in scripture who made impact and was not given to fasting. And so tonight, God wants to do something. He wants to put a hunger. Some of you now, there is a wisdom you should have that you should be creating things that can bring in money in billions. But your soul has no stability enough to handle billions. And so the way God will chisel you for that dimension of your ordination to wake up is through the gateway of fasting. Because when you are fasting, God is remodeling your appetite. Some of you, according to ministry, the dimension you are looking for, you can't handle it. And so when God wants to train your appetite, He first of all invites you to fasting. And you are not faithful, You want 2 million people to follow you? You want 30,000 people to sit down listening to you? What will you tell them? You need capacity enlargement through fasting. Lift your hands towards heaven. You have been praying the wrong prayer. Lord, promote me. Lord, give me visibility. Can you handle the things that are at that level? Ask the Lord for hunger. Hunger, hunger for His presence. Very young, doing extraordinary things. Because the day we start seeing such, then we'll know that the curse over Africa is broken. You don't have to be 50 to make things happen. But for these things to happen with us young, there are things we must know and give ourselves to. There are some of you here that should step into inventive wisdom. Wisdom that will make you to become forces in the economic world, commanding the attention of the global scale. But it will take certain levels of depth and work with God for that kind of power to be committed to you. There are some of us that should walk in anointings that even the fathers will wonder. But it will take consecrations. And so the foundation of consecrations is hunger for the presence of God. Now I pray for you. As I'm talking now, forces will be released into people. Because some of you, the power of God will collide with you. It will hit you so hard and reprogram you. Because the things that kept you bound are about to break and you are about to be ushered into a new corridor in the realms of life. Where men are shown the right things and the truth of their destiny, the powers of their ordination, the scepters that bring them into their inheritances are handed out. And so by the Spirit of God, as I pray for you now, receive that hunger, receive that power, receive that freshness of the Spirit. Wherever you are, everything about your destiny, everything about your ordination, by the Spirit, let it come upon you like the wind. Barakau, shata, betakata, tatatia. Bariado, Batakabane, Zedaka, Satilaya, Baruata, Baruata. Ushers, help me now. The fire of God rests upon you. Bring them here for me quickly. Thank you.
out of time. Hear this. All of you, stretch your hands in my direction. Some of you are about to be commissioned for your destiny. As you walk out of this place, some of you, for the next 40 days, your feeding and your eating timetable is about to be rattled. Because you are about to be invited to corridors where destinies are apportioned. Father, on ground and online, my God, I'm seeing people that know they carry crowns of glory, but they've never walked into it. You are about to be summoned. Come up hither. 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 Usher, bring them here quickly. Let me lay hands on this one. Take that scepter now. Come up hither. Come up hither. Beaten. Baruata kapak. Tavadanis kapatiata. Feraya. Ayanda bariana talos. Tetetetatias kapak. Dak. Tetetak. Tatak. Tatina tatak. Sandatakadis. Brata adida. Tatatianata. Celeleste. Marua. Marua. I call the prophetic. I stir that river. Prophetic water. Ancient river. Where the treasures of destiny are kept. I command them to flow. Barede Vayato. Atasatina Takapa. Jedatapa. You will never be the same again. Power and forces are entering men now. Power. My God. He said Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. You are returning in the power. In the power of the Spirit. You are returning in the power of the Spirit. Patoraba. Tataladia. Tatadaka. Verano. And so let this river overwhelm you from the ankle to the knee to the waist and not to sweep. Bateka potaka, beretaka pato pataka. Oh, I share that river.
Oh, that's who you are. That's who you are. That's who you are. Oh, give me the head. Oh, that's who you are. That's who you are. That's who you are. Oh, give me the head. Oh, that's who you are. That's who you are. That's who you are. Oh, give me the air. That's who you are. That's who you are. That's who you are.
Oh. I'm seeing in the spirit. Men who are crippled, who can't move forward, suddenly their bones are healed and they are given wings to fly. And so I make bold to decree to you, every obstacle to your destiny, by the power of the Holy Ghost, they are hereby removed. That's who you are. That's who you are.
That's who you are.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father.
There are many things I would have said. We are out of time. As you go back home, this river will follow you. While you are yet sleeping, the Holy Ghost will minister to you. I decree everything released from heaven tonight, you partake of its fullness in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. You can joke with anything in life. Don't joke with matters of consecration. And fasting is cardinal. Don't go to heaven and discover what you should have lived on earth. It will be the worst state in eternity. The worst state in eternity is not hell. The worst state in eternity is realizing the life you should have lived. Never have to have lived it while you walk through time. That's why when they spoke about the son of perdition, they said his bishopric let another take. That state is worse than hell. You failed in what God designed for you, only to discover in eternity it will not be your portion. As you walk out of this place today, you walk out as a new man, walking in new possibilities, because the full weight of your ordination for this season has been activated over you. The Lord keep you, cause his face to shine upon you, lift up his countenance over you, and give you peace. As you put to work what you've learned tonight, receive unimaginable but undeniable results. Some of you who came here with infirmity, somebody has just been healed of asthmatic condition. You are struggling with your breath, as if you choke when you breathe. That condition goes forever. And every other infirmity you came here with, as you walk out, you will discover you've been healed. That sister said she left the service on Tuesday only to go sleep, wake up, and discover an eye condition of many years was healed. Most of you will discover good things about yourself. By the time you return on Sunday, you will come with a catalog of testimonies. So let it be written. I'm hearing now that pending issues that you've struggled with for years and for months, they have just been answered. Ranging from contracts to open door situations, all of them have been answered. On ground, online, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' precious name.
If you were blessed by this message you just listened to, and you wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat the prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son Jesus Christ, and that he died for my sins and was raised from the dead for my justification. I therefore confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you just said this prayer, please send us an email at info@encounterjesusministry.org or info.ejfi.ng@gmail.com. You can also visit our website at www.encounterjesusministry.org.